the week that's a little bit backlogged from the summer, and maybe a rerun for some individuals, but it was part of a breakaway Mincha Maariv, so I was asked to repeat it. I got the question over the summer from parents who had children in camp, and somewhere along the line, over the course of the summer, someone told their kids who were storing for a number of weeks, July and August, a big stash of candy and cookies and all kinds of goodies and soda underneath the bed. So someone told the kids, you're not supposed to do that. And maybe you're not even allowed to eat it. So they asked me what the din is. So the Gemara Pesachim raises this question, or at least that's where we encounter it. Tana ochlu mashkin tachas amita, afilu mechupin b'chli barzel, ruach ra shor alein. The Gemara says that food and drinks that are underneath the bed, even if they are encased in a kli of iron, a ruach ra rests upon them. That's a Gemara. Gemara Pesachim daf kufid beis. Now, what do we do with that exactly? So this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredei Kuf Tazayin. Asur la'adam lechol ochlim sheminochim tachas amita, because of the ruach ra. What it's talking about over there is that not adding certain things into a soup, if the fruits and vegetables, whatever it happens to be, were underneath the bed. The Shulchan Aruch over there is going with the simple understanding of the Gemara, although just parenthetically, it should be mentioned that the Rambam interprets the Gemara differently. The Rambam, who at least at some point in his writing of Mishnah Torah, did not address the concept of Ruach Ra in the same way that other Rishonim did. And he seems to understand that what the Gemara is concerned about is food that drops, a mita, we sleep on a bed, right? But a mita in those days, like if you think about Miguel Sester, they would dine and they would recline on mitos at every meal. And if some food fell off the table or fell off whatever they were eating from and went underneath the bed and you just reached for it, unbeknownst to you, you could pick up something that had some sort of infestation, some sort of, it had been eaten from by mice or whatnot, and it could cause a sakana. That's how the Rambam, at least in the Mishnah Torah, may present it, and there may be basis for that in the Yishalmi. But in any case, again, the predominant understanding is a simple explanation of the Gemara that there's a Ruach Ra. So, just to cut to the chase, practically speaking, we assume, like the Poskim, the vast majority of Poskim would say that B'di'eved, it is Asr, it is Mutter, even though it says that there's a Ruach Ra that somehow rests upon this food. Nevertheless, when we encounter this category of Ruach Ra, B'di'eved, once it's already been done, it does not prohibit the food from being consumed. Another, to give a similar illustration, if a person would touch food without washing their hands in the morning, not supposed to do that, because that, again, imparts some sort of Ruach Ra, but nevertheless, B'di'eved, we would not consider it appropriate to throw out the food as a result. So that's the bottom line halacha. Not a good idea to do, but B'di'eved, it is permissible. Now, where does this come from? So the Torah's Chaim, commentary on Gemara Bava Basra and Shuas, suggests what might be the knee-jerk reaction that comes to mind, is that if it's under the bed, and what do you do on the bed? You sleep on the bed. And there is a notion of tumas ohel. Someone dies, so if they are overhanging or something's overhanging them, that can spread tuma to what is beneath the ohel or beneath the mace if it's suspended in some way. So maybe food underneath the bed when you're sleeping, which is 1/60th of the mace, the Gemara says, it conveys some 1/60th. We can say whatever the percentage is, but we're just using that as round numbers, just as an illustration. Maybe that the product of the phenomenon being similar to death imparts some ruach ra on the food. That's the classic understanding of the Torah's Chaim. The Dvar Shmuel, one of the commentaries on Pesachim, on that Gemara right there, says, is that really true? If you think about it, right, what if you had a mace in a room, right, and the tumah spreads to the entire room? So now there's food in the room. The food is indeed tameh. But there's nothing wrong with eating tameh food. If you're a kohen, okay, you want to stay tahor, so you want to avoid that. But sometimes a kohen is tameh, and he needs food to eat, so he eats tameh food when he's tameh. And Yisrael, at any point, unless you're going to the Beis HaMikdash for a lila regel, there's no requirement to remain tahor, and it's not always the case. Not every food will convey tuma to a human being. But if that's the case, if actual tuma would not prohibit the food, right, and seemingly doesn't bring anything negative about for the food, then why should the death aspect of sleep do the same, or at least be considered, you know, some way a parallel or a paradigm for this. So we're not sure that we accept that. We'll give a few illustrations briefly that help illustrate the application of this. Number one is, what about a pillow? What if you have food under your pillow? Okay, if you're a kid in camp and everyone knows where the rest of your goodies are, and you want to keep a stash where no one else knows. So is that the same thing? So Rietzel Chonon Spector has a tshuva where he suggests that maybe it's okay because there's a medrash in Eicha that says a chemas, a flask or a skin, a hide. That you know they used to fill with drinks, so it can be used for different things. The Medrash says it can be used to store flour, or it can also be blown up with air, inflated, and you can put it underneath the head. So he says, if that's the case, sounds like you could. It's intended by Chazal to fill up the skin with something that you could eat, like flour, and also use it as a pillow. Stechemin says maybe it's two distinct uses. It's not supposed to be read in tandem, but they're two different options. Not to say that food underneath your head would necessarily be exempt from this ruach ra. On the other hand, right, even if we would accept that is something we can extrapolate, what's underneath your head is not necessarily the same thing as what's underneath your bed. You're obviously assuming that it similar to the Torah's Chaim, that if I'm overhanging something, if something's beneath me while I'm sleeping, it's automatically the same thing. Not necessarily the case. For example, the Samas Chaim, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, asked about food in your pocket when you're sleeping. Is that the same thing? And he concludes that no, we're talking about tachas hamita, talking about something unique, a unique phenomenon about food underneath the bed. Again, setting us apart from anything having to do with a tumah of a mace, it's something unique to the person under the bed, and therefore if it's under his head or in his pocket, wouldn't be subject to the same issue. The poskim in contemporary times talk about, what about food underneath your airplane seat? Okay, or on the bus? Can I store stuff? I guess the way you're really supposed to do it on an airplane is to put it under the person in front of you. So you got to make sure that they stay awake the whole time. When we travel with kids, we never had that problem. Okay, we're always able to keep the people in front of us in the aisle ahead wide awake, unfortunately. So, but nevertheless, the postgame say that, again, anything beyond the strict construction of the way the Gemara presents it when it comes to these mystical, you know, supernatural things that we don't understand so much, we're very wary of extending it beyond the very specific context that the Gemara has. So if you're sitting upright, like on a bus or an airplane, we would not apply the same restriction. Therefore, you could put it underneath the seat in such a situation. Putting food underneath a baby's carriage would be the same issue. And the poskim generally are makel. The Vilna Gaon was very machmir about this. There was a story about someone. There was a big crate of sugar, and someone fell asleep on the crate. I don't know. Maybe it was a sailor, and he decided to take a nap there. And the Vilna Gaon said, "Throw the whole thing out." But the Vilna Gaon's approach was maybe something which he reserved for his own practices, not something which was for sure intended for other people, but the Vilna Gaon's opinion is generally not accepted in this instance. What about a goy? Does the same thing apply underneath the bed of a goy? So it would depend on the same issue. When it comes to tumas ohel, so many poskim are makel and say that there isn't the same prohibition. You know, the doctors deal with this kohanim who go to a hospital where there are dead bodies. So if you could reliably say that there are no Jewish bodies in the hospital, it's a whole different shaila, as opposed to in Eretz Yisrael, where all the or most of the patients there are inevitably Jewish. So if it's something which is linked to Tumas Mace, as we started with, so then we have reason to believe that maybe it shouldn't apply to a goy. But if it's some sort of different Tumas, something that exists with its own rules, then it would not be the same consideration. Finally, not going to go into it in detail, but another topic that the post can talk about is, some people have a practice of having a Nagelwasser bowl, you know, that they set up before they go to sleep, you know, the cup filled with water. Is it appropriate to keep it underneath your bed? Shlomo Zalman Arba said, don't do it. Because, you know, maybe one ruach ra comes and overpowers whatever the water is supposed to do by removing the ruach ra. What about food underneath a bed in the sukkah? So along the lines of one of the svaras that's mentioned by the baby carriage, if it's not a mita kvu, if it's not a defined, normal, consistent place where you sleep, so the ruach ra that persists underneath a mita may not be applicable. What about an esrog underneath your bed? Can you use the esrog? The esrog has to be something you can eat. If you have an esrog that for one another reason is arla or whatever, the Gemara talks about a few different instances, you're not supposed to use it for a little of an esrog. But some say, okay, that's just an extrinsic reason. That's not the kashrus of the esrog itself. This ruach ra would not disqualified from being used on sukkahs. And finally, Vayagid Moshe, a classic, a compendium of halachas for the night of the Seder and Pesach, says food left underneath the bed, even those who are more machmir, would allow it on Leil Shimurim, when we are protected from all types of supernatural mazikim and demons and whatnot. So that's a night to save it for dessert. Not make sure it's before the afikomen. Rav Menachash Omer, Hakadosh Baruch Hu zakas Yisrael, l'fichach herbal tar mitzvah, shenemar lachafitz man tzidko, yagdil to Rav Yadir.